the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, known the world over as NASA, announced the discovery of a new planet. Tentatively named Kepler-22b, the planet is just outside the solar system in what astronomers call the Goldilocks zone. It is said to be a habitable place, eerily similar to Earth. It has the substances necessary to sustain life, such as water, although it is very big. And this early, there are speculations that the planet may prove to be an alternative habitation for man. Similar speculations, in fact, were raised concerning our neighboring planet of Mars, a future habitation. Now, whether there is real science to this idea or just a pure myth, of one thing I know, the scripture states, Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to mankind. Ang kalangitan ay nabibilang sa Diyos, ngunit ang mundo ang ibinigay niya sa sangkatauhan. This earth where we live is the earth where we die. And that is something of supreme delusion to imagine that man will have such control of space that he will make other planets his habitation. But of this, I want to tell you, the saints' future will be more than the earth. The hope of the believer, however, is not another planet. It is rather heaven and earth. Yan ang hinaharap ng mga banal kay Kristo, langit at ang mundo. At ito ay mangyayari sa pagkabuhay na muli. So we are now in the closing parts of our expositions of the resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. As I kept explaining, it became an issue in Corinth because some of those in the church were questioning the legitimacy or the validity of the resurrection. They were influenced by some Greek philosophies that held the body to be intrinsically evil. So they thought if man dies, he gets rid of the body, why get it back? And so they thought that at the death of believers, they cannot hope for the resurrection anymore. And Paul would have none of that idea. And so the last issue in this massive letter to the Corinthians is concentrating on the issue of the resurrection. And why was Paul so agitated by that teaching is because he saw that what was at stake was no less than the gospel. Ang nakasalalay dito ay ang ebanghelyo. Bakit? Sapagkat bahagi ng ebanghelyo ay ang inaangkin natin na si Jesucristo ay tunay na nabuhay mula sa mga patay. In fact, Paul calls it, in the opening verses of this chapter, a matter of first importance. This is not something we can relegate to an optional issue. This is central. This is priority. If Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul said, there's no consolation prize. We are of all men most miserable. So that is the issue of the resurrection. Now he comes to the point that if Christ rose from the dead historically and genuinely, then the effect of that is guaranteed. And what is the effect of that? The resurrection of all those who belong to Jesus Christ. So that is the point why we need to stress this doctrine as part of the pillar of the church, the resurrection of the Christian, our hope of the resurrection, rises or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Christ. Now, this is not simply doctrinal. As I hope I have shown, this is a very practical issue because this thought led Paul to assert rather shockingly, but on analysis, this is a very confident assertion when he said, I die daily. That's the implication of the resurrection. We are prepared to face death at any time on any given day. And that kind of assertion gives the Christian bravery in his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have come to the section where Paul is explaining the nature of the resurrection in terms of glorification. The corrupt will become incorruptible. The mortal will become immortal. That's the hope of the believer. And as we come now to the last two messages of this rather long series, I would invite you now to turn to the penultimate message, 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the resurrection has finally attained the change that is promised, that all the saints will be glorified, there will be no more corruption, there will be no more mortality, Paul boldly directs his address to death itself by citing two Old Testament texts. And what he is doing here practically is challenging death, taunting death, in fact. And he uses the word to describe what it will be when finally the resurrection has happened. The word he uses is victory, to describe the final blessedness of those who belong to Christ. This is my simple message. The saints' resurrection in Christ guarantees final victory over death. Ang pagkabuhay na muli ng mga banal kay Kristo ay nagtitiyak ng pangwakas na tagumpay sa kamatayan. The saints' resurrection in Christ guarantees final victory over death. Here are some straightforward statements by Paul that reveal the distinct concept of the Christian concerning death. And it is this distinct concept that enables us to spell our hope in terms of victory over death. Two truths that derive from this message. First, connection of sin and of death. Connection of sin and of death. And secondly, salvation from sin and from death. First of all then, yung pagkakarugtong ng kasalanan at ng kamatayan. This is a distinctly Christian concept. The connection of sin and of death. Paul says the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Paul is using here the figure of that little monster in the desert, the scorpion, whose sting can be dreadfully painful, and in some species, fatal. And he likens death to that fatal scorpion whose sting is dreadfully painful. But where does the sting of death lie? He makes it abundantly clear. In seeing where the sting of death lies, its power to harm and endure, this is distinctly Christian. What Paul is teaching here, reminding us of, is that death is the divine penalty for sin, which makes it a spiritual issue, not merely biological. Ipinapaalala dito ni Pablo na ang kamatayan ay parusa ng Diyos sa kasalanan, kaya't ito ay nasa larangang espiritual, hindi lamang pangkatawan. Hindi lamang sa ating usapin ng mga panlaman. This again is where we differ as Christians in our idea of death. We cannot see it as merely biological. Now, when someone dies, the doctor may advise of the patient's death and will sign a death certificate in medical terms. The patient died of cardiac failure, maybe of cancer or internal injuries, blood clotting, infection, sepsis, diabetes. Ipapaliwanag niya yung mga medical na kadahilanan kung bakit ang isang pasyente ay namatay. And there is a place for that. The biological understanding of death has its place, and in fact, in understanding the biological aspect, it has advanced the medical field. From the ancient times when longevity was on average less than 30, we're pushing in some Western countries, pushing towards 80. That's an advance by any measure. And that's because biological understanding has advanced, and there is a place for that. But why do people keep dying? It is not just anatomical, you see. There is a divine explanation. It goes back to Eden, to the man who was mandated to be the representative of mankind, so that in his action, we were dragged into it. A simple command amidst an abundance of blessings was given to Adam. In the midst of so many blessings, he was put under probation by a simple test, and with the test is the threat that on the day that he disobeyed, he would surely die. Now, he didn't die immediately upon disobedience. In fact, he lived for more than 900 years thereafter. But you see the point. From that moment, he was a dead man walking. And what happened to us? Romans 5 verse 12 tells us, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin is the reason we die. All have sinned and all are dying. And this is something that you need to see, you need to realize about yourself. You may be of a healthy body, and you may be using all that this modern world can supply to assure health. But one day you will die, not for lack of supply, not for lack of supplement, but because you are a sinner. And until you have an answer to sin, there is no answer to death. Romans 6:23 remains the classic statement on this. The wages of sin is death. Sin is not without a price. And the price tag of sin reads death. That's our explanation. And when Paul said the power of sin is the law, there would be no sin if there were no law that determines right and wrong. But God has put all mankind, beginning with Adam, under his law. And sinners that we are, we violate and disobey the law. Naglagay ang Diyos ng kanyang batas sa pamumuhay ng tao, at dahil sa tayo mga makasalanan, nilalabag nating paulit-ulit ang kanyang batas, at ipinapaliwanag ngayon dito na ito ang dahilan na tayo ay namamatay. I sin, so I will die. You sin, and you will die. This is the Christian explanation for death. Not biology, but your spiritual condition, which is a sinner. Well, we know from the news that despite all government efforts, our compatriot in China was executed. I can't say that the efforts to save were wrong. On the other hand, I can't say that the decision of the Chinese government to proceed was wrong. They have laws to implement. Well, one thing that I must say is that you and I are all in death row. And there is no negotiation as far as the scheduled implementation is concerned. Now, one thing that this means on a practical level is that because death is connected to man's sinfulness, regard death as an evil to humanity. Dahil nakarugtong siya sa kasalanan, dapat nating itangi ang kamatayan na masama, isang kasamaan para sa sangkatauhan. I have warned you in an early installment of this series about the way some Christians wrongly romanticize death for believers. But presumably because when the Christian dies, he goes to heaven, the idea is welcome death in the sense of treating it as your door to heaven. And that is wrong. We saw in a previous verse in this chapter that death is called an enemy. Kaaway, ang kamatayan, hindi kaibigan. Tinawag na ito na ito ang huling kaaway na pupuksain at ilalagay sa ilalim ng kanyang mga paanan. Parang ang sinasabi rito ay yung huling kaaway, yun ang pinakamatiba, yun ang pinakamatindi. At kapag napuksa na yun, wala nang matitira. At sinabing ang kamatayan ang huli, death is the last enemy. It is an evil because sin lies behind death. No wonder that death brings with it misery, mourning, and yes, more sins. It is right because it is evil to avoid death. It is right to use every legal and medical means at our disposal to prevent ourselves from dying. It is foolhardy to expose yourself unnecessarily to perils of dying. Death has its sting, and sting hurts. It endures when it bites. We feel it to the core of our souls. And when death comes closely, we are in anguish. Death seems always to have the victory, doesn't it? One expression we use when someone dies is, he lost his fight against cancer. He lost his fight against this disease. The idea of losing death seems to be the victor, and we feel like losers. And every death that comes close to us is telling us someday it will be us. Back in those days when the death of someone in the community was announced by tolling the bells, pinapatunog ang mga kampana, John Donne, the poet, said, "Do not send someone to ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." And someday it will. It will be me. It will be you. But it has a positive point. Our regard for the sanctity of life is our most fundamental act of respect to our fellow men. That we treat his life as inviolable. Last June of this year, the man whom everybody calls the suicide doctor died. Dr. Jack Kevorkian became famous and wealthy by his physician-assisted suicide. That those who wanted to commit suicide can come to him and he would assist them as a physician. Though that is a clear violation of the very first sentence of the Hippocratic Oath, "First of all, I will do no harm." And yet just recently, Hollywood extolled him with a film, "They Don't Know Jack," with no less Al Pacino to star. But now he's dead. He earned his millions with his physician-assisted suicide. Now he should know why you don't play God in issues of dying. And I hope I'm not talking to anyone suicidal. Maghunos dili ka. Hindi ka na kailangang tapusin ang buhay, anuman ang miserableng pinagdaraanan mo. Yes, death is evil. But because we connect sin and death, the connection of sin and of death is a distinctly Christian concept. But that brings us to the only hope. The second point is salvation from sin and from death. Kaligtasan mula sa kasalanan at mula sa kamatayan. You see, seeing the connection of sin and of death exposes the evil of death, but this alone gives hope. This is the wonder of the contrasting exaltation of Paul. Can you imagine as he describes death, he then says, "But thanks be to God." How can there be thanksgiving in the face of death? If you were to talk to Paul, you just announced that death is an enemy. How can you have any thanksgiving? Well, his simple answer, thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There lies the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ has gained victory over sin and ultimately over death by his death and resurrection. Nagtagumpay ang Panginoong Hesukristo sa kasalanan at sa kawakasan ay sa kamatayan sa pamamagitan ng kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli. This is our answer to death. And in fact, the only answer to death. Do you know why? Because it is the only answer to sin. We saw that the power of sin is the law. And only Christ has done something to answer the law. You and I cannot do anything to reverse the judgment of law against us. That judgment is just and right. It is the law that tells you no matter what good you do, you are, I am a criminal in heaven's court with the sentence of guilty and to spend eternity in a Christless hell. And for as long as you keep the illusion that somehow you're good enough for God, you don't realize the misery of your condition and the horror of your future. The law has pronounced us guilty. It has given the sentence death to the sinner and hell in eternity. Hopeless. But then, hopeless? That's where we listen to the wondrous cry of the baby on the manger in Bethlehem. The baby grew to be a child in submission to his parents. Into adulthood and all his life, he never sinned once. Not one sin. But why is the sinless one dragging his cross outside Jerusalem onto Calvary? Why was the sinless one crucified? It could not be the death of someone who is like you and me, a sinner. It was the death of a substitute. The one who alone answered the sentence of the law against us. The sinless one was dying for sinners to answer the just law of God. Now there is your answer to sin. There is salvation from sin. Only in Christ. Believe in Christ. Believe Him now. There is no other Savior, no other answer to sin. For as long as you imagine that you can be good enough to answer your sin, you are in a delusion. Huwag kang mag-antala ng paanyaya ng Ebanghelyo ngayon ay lumapit ka kay Hesukristo sapagkat tanging siya lamang ang may sagot sa kautusan ng Diyos at kaya't siya lamang ang may kaligtasan sa kasalanan na siyang tanging tugon sa kamatayan. And with that answer to sin, we can boldly confront death as ultimately harmless to the believer in Christ. Ultimately harmless. I maintain my first point, it is evil. But because of Christ, ultimately harmless. And Paul, as I have said, cites here two Old Testament texts that challenge death. The first is Isaiah 25:9. Death is swallowed up in victory. We usually think of death as swallowing us. So we have the figure of speech, jaws of death. Yung kamatayan ang lumululun sa atin. But here, from Isaiah, it is death that is being swallowed up in victory. The second text is from Hosea 13:14. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And there, note the tone is one of taunting death. Like holding a scorpion that has lost its sting. Harmless. For some, still scary, but ultimately harmless. As I've said, this is not to undo the evil of death, one that harms human beings. But for the Christian, when seen in the light of the guaranteed resurrection, death is ultimately harmless. And twice in this text, Paul uses the word victory. In Greek, there are several words available to give the idea of victory. And the word Paul chose has the idea of utterly vanquished. Lubos-lubos na pinuksa. During the First World War, Germany was also the enemy. It was defeated, but then just immediately managed to recover, rearm, and became an even more dangerous enemy in World War II. Now, that will not happen to death. Death will be utterly vanquished, that it will never rearm. It will never recover. Death will be utterly vanquished. And so the vision John saw in Patmos of the final state in Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. No more injuries, no more ache, no more diseases, no more cancer, no more diabetes. All this gone in the final state of the saints. And this ultimate harmlessness of death dictated the courage of Christian martyrs in times of persecution. We are fortunate and blessed. We do not live through those times. But go back to history and try to study the condition of Christians somewhere even now. The choice of martyrdom is very real. And how did they have such courage? This ultimate harmlessness of death dictated this courage. And it should also be this that should imbue us with assurance when we too face the threat to our faith. I told you last week about this maiden issue of the Discovery Channel magazine. And its first cover story is about immortality. And the claim is that science is advancing more and more towards the point where it will come to the ability of making men immortal. What arrogance. But where science will ultimately fail to find a way to immortality, where superstitions will all prove to be empty and deceiving, Christ has won for us the victory. We are not in a losing cause. Even if thousands are still dying for the Christian faith, we are victors. And that's the courage with which we must carry ourselves, even in the face of peril. One of the greatest speeches in history, by any measure, was during World War II, a speech by Winston Churchill in the Parliament, when nation after nation was falling to the blitzkrieg of Hitler, including France. And now Britain was left alone. And Winston Churchill gave a delivery of speech which was meant to inspire, and towards the point that he was so hoarse. And the one statement I would remember is, "We shall never surrender." And Britain, for all the almost daily bombing, never surrendered and held the key to victory by the Allied forces against Germany in Europe. And I invite you to the same confidence in the face of what appears to be a swallowing death. Death is swallowed up in victory. A stingless death, ultimately, when the Christian thinks of it. And so as we sing our last hymn, I remember the story here of the young Isaac Watts, who was attending church and complained to his father about how boring and how insubstantial the hymns were. And his father challenged him, then write your own. And he did. And this is the very first song that Isaac Watts, who became one of the greatest English hymnists, had been. Give me the wings of faith. It says, give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above, how great their joys, how bright their glories be. In other words, there is that courage that a Christian can possess even in the face of the threat and peril of death because of the resurrection. And come to think of it, isn't this the words of Jesus, you remember, to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. The he shall live there is the living after death. That's the final life that will no longer die, because Christ is the resurrection and the life. So possess that courage, even in the face of death, as one who is looking at death that is swallowed up in victory. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga po, Panginoon, na aming panariwain ang namumukod na konsepto ng mananampalatayang Kristiyano ukol sa kamatayan, na pinagdugtong ang kasalanan at ang kamatayan. At ang pagkakarugtong na ito ang siya lamang nagbibigay ng tunay na pag-asa ng darating na tagumpay ng dahil sa ginawa ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. We pray that we may truly hold fast this truth that there is a guaranteed victory because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And that guaranteed victory is premised on our understanding that we die because we sin. Death is not merely biological, but death is spiritual. It is your just penalty on sin. And no matter what medical science can do, no matter the arrogant claims of those who think they can by science produce immortality, we know that death will continue because sin is a continuing reality. And therefore, may this teach us to understand death as an evil. It is an enemy, and we rightly sorrow over its arrival. And when it comes close to us, it also reminds us that someday it will be us. Grant that this thought of the evil of death will, on the other hand, make us respect life. That our ultimate and most fundamental respect that we owe to our fellow men is to treat his life as inviolable. And thus, may this dictate our treatment of our fellow men as those whose lives are with sanctity. And yet at the same time, this is the only premise that gives us hope, for the connection of sin and of death leads to the facts of the salvation that is in Christ from sin and from death. There is no other Savior but only Christ, for he alone has lived without sin, and yet he died on the cross. It is not the death of a sinner which is our death. It was the death of a Savior, a substitute. And he is the only one who has an answer to the law, and therefore the only one who has an answer to sin. And we pray for those who here are yet to come to Christ for saving mercy, that once more you will make the gospel word powerful, effective, and inviting, that there may be sinners who will come to Christ today. We pray for your mercy upon us as we understand this salvation from sin and from death, that it may truly give us a sense of boldness, as Paul here demonstrates, that he can address death and believe that it is ultimately harmless. to believers. It is like a scorpion that has lost its sting. And it is no longer death that swallows us, but because of Christ, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. May this confidence in the ultimate harmlessness of death to the Christian give us a sense of courage and bravery, even in the face of peril, that we may be faithful to the one who called us. And we carry with us the vision of the final state that John has so eloquently stated, that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. And this is all because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died and rose again. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.